Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Hey, good morning, Jacob's Well. Woo! You're all here. It's great. Good to see you today. I'm Greg Meyer. And most of you know that. Just before we jump into square one with our stuff, a lot of you, we talked last week about Melissa Melnick, who was an intern with us from 2012 to 2014. She's doing a ministry called Tapestry. It's a bilingual ministry in Richfield right now, but many of you, I think, probably know, but her son, Chris, who is 22, senior at the U, drowned in the Mississippi a week ago Tuesday, and they found his body on Thursday this week. And so there's going to be a memorial service on this coming Friday, the 12th, at 4 at Central Lutheran. There'll be more news. You don't need to remember that all now, but you can check our website, certainly check our Facebook page. It's already there. So, yeah, just keep Melissa and Chris's brother, Austin, their dad, Tom, and just their friends and family in your prayers. I know none of us can imagine really hardly anything that could be tougher than that. But just stopping and thinking about those things, we live in a society that is just so frenzied and so built on like quick, fast social media type posts, 140 characters and things like that. And as I was preparing to speak this week, I just realized what a privilege it is for us, well, at least for me. I mean, you guys kind of just sit here and listen to me, right? But to have like a sustained conversation, first of all, like this time it's 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, we're taking 30 to 40 minutes just to kind of ask some really tough questions and to be thinking deeply about some things in life and then carry that conversation on all week if you're in group life or just on your own and at home. For me, it's an enormous privilege to be a part of a community that says, yeah, we want that kind of thing going on in our life. And for me to have that chance to, I guess it's a privilege, and I hope I do a reasonably good job of helping us introduce these conversations and be a part of them and kick it off. I know I have no pretense that I've got it all figured out, certainly not this week's, but hopefully we're able to raise up some good questions and give you some places you can bite in on it and make some progress on that. So I just had to say that. Well, we are talking about square one today. So if you haven't been a part of this, what's square one all about? That's where what we have to go back to when we discover that where we are now isn't going to work anymore, or maybe it never ever did work in the first place. As a parent, the typical thing for a parent of small children is that you master like how you need to parent your kid just in time for them to leave the phase that they were in. As soon as you think you got it, it's different. So sometimes there's a lot of dead ends that you weren't doing the wrong thing. It just doesn't work anymore. It's got to change the game. And that applies in lots of parts of life. A lot of times we find ourselves in these dead ends where we need to get back to square one because it never did work. Maybe like this idea of just always adding more butter to the food that you cook because it tastes better. I'm sorry, that never really was a good idea. More seriously, maybe it's the fact that you just automatically kind of cringe and avoid people of a different skin color because you don't feel like you're comfortable with that. You don't feel like that's a safe place to go. Or like you avoid ever balancing your bank accounts because it creates anxiety and you don't want to know that you don't have enough money, so you just spend. I mean, these are dead ends that never did work, and when we realize we're at dead end, we need to realize that there is no way going forward from there. We've got to backtrack. We've got to get back to square one where we realize whatever this part of life is about, what is it really about at its root, and then figure out a path forward that has more potential, more purpose for ourselves. So today we're talking about going back to square one with stuff. And can I just name this without any apologies, without any qualifying statements tonight, kind of to protect our feelings about it. But, and this is on your outlines, it's on the back of your Sunday paper if you want to follow along, but we each have an SP. All of us, we have an SP. That stands for a stuff problem. All right? We do. Every one of us, we have a stuff problem, and it is a dead end for us. It is one of the biggest dead ends. And we got lots of dead ends in life. This is one of our really big ones, folks. These SPs, and it isn't just us. It's all of us. It's our whole Western Hemisphere, at least, and it's viral. Virtually the whole world is catching this SP, not just from us, but around us. And also, this isn't the fact that we have this stuff problem isn't just because we have it, or it isn't only for people who have lots of money so that they can have lots of stuff. It's really just not only the having; it's the wanting. It's the appetite and everything that surrounds all this. Generally speaking, our relationship with stuff is all screwed up today, and we're at a dead end. And we need to recognize it, and we need to admit that as individuals and as a society, that we have to get back to square one and relearn a relationship with our stuff, because the way we have it now isn't working, and there is no way forward from the way that we deal with our stuff today in this world right now. We are all suffering from SPs, okay? All of us. So please, don't be defensive about this. I know there's a lot of shame and guilt. There's also a lot of pride and a lot of status. There's even a lot of self-righteousness about our relationship with our stuff sometimes. We think we're doing better, and that's because we end up playing a comparison game. Don't do that either. Comparison almost is very, very seldom helpful if you're not doing scientific work. Comparison is one of these things that just tries to make us better, than someone else, or makes us feel bad because someone is better than us. And that's not the issue, all right? Comparison is what gets us into SPs, all right? It's keeping up with the Joneses. It's trying to, spending all the time about how other people are doing or don't have, or I'm spending time comparing what I don't have compared to what I could have or what's available, all those kinds of things. It gets us into problems. It doesn't get us out of them. And we need to recognize some of those things. And I get it, okay? I have an SP too. Yeah, no, I love my stuff. Jordan loves her sweatshirt. I've got so much stuff that I love, but there is a difference. The stuff I love is it's really cool. I mean, I picked it out, and the reason I have it, it's your stuff that it's a problem. You've got a lot of junk, Mine is stuff. It's cool stuff. Yours is junk. If you ever really want to know whether this is autobiographical or not, I'll give you a tour of my basement. But you do have to sign an insurance waiver before you're allowed to go down there. So... Thank you. So on the right-hand side of your outline, if you look at that, you're going to see a picture of a big suitcase. And what I'd like you all to do is just take a couple of minutes. The band's going to play an appropriate song in the background. And take a couple of minutes, and what is your stuff? Write it in there. And you don't have enough room in there to write all the things that you possess. But maybe think in categories, or what are the types of stuff in your life? Remember, stuff isn't just stuff you bring back from Target. It's all these possessions. It's all this material goods that fill our lives. And again, I'll talk about this later. It's not all just a good or bad thing, but it's there. So take a couple of minutes. Start writing down the types, the kind of roles stuff plays in your life, the categories of stuff you got, okay?
It's a mystery to me. We have agreed, with which we have agreed.
Whew. Okay. Well, so just take a, look at that list. Kind of hold it up here. It's in front of you. It's between you and the world. And just take some of those deep breaths. Just pause to look at your stuff, however you began to do it. And if you're like me, when I started doing this exercise, it was kind of hard at first, and then I found I didn't have enough time. The more I did it, the more I realized, oh, wow, I got a lot of stuff. And I'm not quite sure just what its role is in all of my life. So that's a big thing. So before I can say too much about our stuff and our relationship, I think the square one place I'd like us to get back to is maybe a little different one that helps us understand what square one about stuff is going to be like. And that's this is rope. Now, many of you, if you've been around Jacob's Well a while, you kind of know about this. This is a metaphor that we use a lot here at Jacob's Well, in that life is a rope of three strands that we weave together to be strong and to be resilient, to be whole, to embrace the world, I think, the way it really is meant to be embraced. And the three strands of the rope, and the colors here have no association, they're just random, but the first strand is yourself. You are the first strand of your rope, and your deepest self, all of you, your wholeness is there. And, you know, what can you say? Without yourself, what do you have, right? The second strand, and I don't know that there's necessarily an order after that first one. I think we have to come first because we have to always deal with ourselves. But the next strand is our God strand. That language God, and Chris talked about this a few weeks ago, by putting a name on God, we've limited God. We put God in a box. And God is always bigger than any box we can ever conceive of and make of. And that's, if we know anything, we just know God is really, really big. But nonetheless, we need to talk about God. So we use that word, or you maybe have another word, but we realize we need a box in order to communicate, to start thinking about, to figure out how am I going to weave my life with this thing which is beyond me and that pulls me into a larger world than I could ever understand and helps me understand what it is I'm really participating in, stuff that's beyond my senses and beyond the stuff that I can touch and feel in the world and prove and so on, but that's real stuff too, and God is there. So that's the next strand. The third strand is our others strand, right? It's your family. It's your neighbors. It's your community. It's other Jacob's Well people. It's our neighborhood. It's your city. It's the world, but it's also not just people. It's all this stuff that we are in relationship. It's the world itself. It's creation, it's a universe that we are in relationship with. And by weaving our lives together, it's easy to try to just do it with two strands, or I'm just going to be that solo person and I'm going to do life on my own. It doesn't work, right? But we really do believe that, and I think it makes a lot of sense, and certainly where the Bible is trying to lead us in its wisdom, is that life is best when we weave it from these three strands together. And so why I bother to do that, I said, the life that's really worth living, the life that is actually going to deliver what you're looking for, is going to be this three-stranded rope that you've woven deliberately and strongly. And what does that have to do with stuff? Where's stuff in this? It's not. It's not in that. But boy, have we made it part of it. I mean, have we given up the other two strands often for me and my stuff? It doesn't belong there. It doesn't have a place there. It's you, it's God, it's others woven together. Now, it doesn't mean the stuff doesn't matter. I mean, you need a chair to sit on right now, okay? I'm glad most of you have clothing on. I'm glad all of us have clothing on. I mean, there's a real role for stuff in our world. Just visualize something and got a particular laugh out of that. But, you know, we do need some stuff, but stuff isn't there. It's not part of our rope. So the problem of stuff is not that it is good or bad. The problem with stuff is our expectations that we have of it. Our expectations of our stuff. We want it to play a role in our lives. We want it to do things for us that it was not intended to do and it cannot do. And we continue to turn to it over and over and over to play that role for us. And it can't. The problem is our expectations of it. And here's dead end number one about these expectations, okay? As I see it. And you guys, work this out yourself, right? I'm trying to create a conversation that I think is worth pursuing, but you can refine it. You can make it your own. One is we expect our stuff to do too much for us personally. I want my stuff to do things for me. All right, personally, and I think it's really big. We think stuff is going to meet all of our needs. Emphasis on all. At least too many of my needs. I think my stuff is going to meet too many of my needs, and we know it can't, okay? Again, you know, it's interesting to see the Bible's reflections on stuff, because stuff was not the problem that it is today, 2,000 years ago. But yet it was understood, this relationship with stuff, expecting stuff to do stuff that it can't do, to use a word too many times in one sentence, is a problem. You know, so a couple of familiar verses, Jesus is saying, no one can serve two masters, for you'll either hate the one and love the other, or you're going to be devoted to the one and despise the other. In other words, only one thing can be first in your life. And then he says, You cannot serve both God and wealth. Well, the word for wealth there, I mean, it's kind of, it's stuff. It's stuff, you know. It includes your wealth, like your money, but what is your money for? It's, you're using it for stuff, all right? You can't have them both. And then he goes on, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Isn't life more than stuff? I mean, trying to get some perspective on this, to figure out how these things all work together. But we got to have stuff. You know, don't talk bad about stuff. We've got to have it. I mean, we need food. We need medicine. We need all these sorts of things that are stuff. Yeah, that's right. But I'm not saying, remember, it's not good or bad. It's not a question of whether stuff should exist or not. Of course it should. But what do we expect it to do for our lives? How are we finding our meaning and our purpose within those sorts of things? On your outline or up on the screen, you're going to see Maslow's pyramid, his hierarchy of needs, which is, you probably all had it in sociology class, psychology class in high school, college. It's kind of common sense. Everybody says, yeah, that's pretty much how life works, you know? And so you have three layers of needs. And what Maslow said is that you meet these bottom needs first, and then you work up towards the top of the pyramid. But you can't move up until you've really secured the lower levels of it. The basic level of basic needs are, first of all, our physiological needs. I need food, water, I need warmth, I need rest, all right? That's usually boils down to some stuff. Food is stuff, air is stuff, water is stuff. Clothing to keep me warm, a house, that's stuff. The next one is a little beyond that, is our safety needs. I need security. I just need to be safe, all right? That might be, you know, house and all kinds of things. It's also a lot of stuff there. Then beyond that, you have our psychological needs, belongingness and love needs and self-esteem needs. And then finally at the top is our self-fulfillment needs, things we do to actualize ourselves. This is where we now have the luxury to really say, what's my life all about? How am I going to find meaning? How am I going to find fulfillment and things like that? So where's stuff's big role in this? Well, stuff has a role in all layers of it, right? But it changes. It's kind of bottom heavy, and then it changes as it moves up, doesn't it? I mean, if you look on your outline, let's start on the bottom on your outline there. Number one, around your basic needs, stuff can meet my basic needs, all right? That's something I can actually expect. It makes sense to have expectations that my stuff will meet my basic needs, that I need food, all right? I need water. I need to be able to stay warm in the winter, things like that. There's not a problem there. I don't think we need to argue about it. As we go up, though, well, the thing is we take those same expectations and we keep raising them up the ladder. On the second, on our psychological needs, it can help me address my psychological needs. Stuff there is something that can help me, something I can enjoy. But it isn't those things. It isn't going to give me what I'm like. It's not going to give me esteem, but we try to make it. It's not going to make me happy, but we try to do that. And then as you get to the top, well, self-actualization, self-fulfillment, is your stuff going to do that? I mean, go home and watch some commercials on TV, and yes, the answer is it sure can. At least it's worth trying. But we know it can't. We know we can't find those things in our stuff. But yet we try. And I think what the role of our stuff is, or it can help us express ourselves. As we are on that journey of self-fulfillment, of actualizing who we are, our stuff is a way we can express who we are. It's a way we can project out into the world. We can find things like delight and appreciation. We can reach deeper into things and sense things and understand things and be in relationship things. But the farther we go up there, I think the more open our hands need to be, the more lightly we hold our stuff, realizing it isn't this thing anymore. It isn't like I had to have that meal. Frankly, most of us here aren't probably in too much danger around our basic needs. There are people in this world that are. Thank you, Melanie, for organizing us around Love Somalia on June 4th. Sign up for that, by the way. There are people that are, but we aren't. And so our relationship with our stuff needs to continue to have more and more open hands, that we don't necessarily need what we have or so much, but we have to live in that kind of dialogue. Again, you know, even in such a simple time as 2,000 years ago, when there wasn't nearly so much stuff around to be had and sold, Paul writes, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need, and I can do all things through God who strengthens me. No, it's, you know, by weaving this rope, I find that I can, I'm in relationship to others to care for myself. I have a perspective of the world from God that helps me see beyond the stuff and see beyond my how comfortable I am or how convenient things are right now, but I'm part of a bigger world. And I think that's what we're all trying to do, isn't it? It's hard, though. It's hard in our world. And I think it's one of the reasons we're a community, is to try to get that vision. Because what we miss, and that's the next thing here, is that we don't see the burden of our stuff. We do. I mean, you get a glimpse of it just about every day when you have to clean out your car, if you clean out your car every day. But we really do miss the burden of our stuff. In fact, here's one of the reasons that we are set up to get stuck at this dead end, is that we teach our kids how to be at dead end with stuff before they ever have a vision of what square one might look like. We raise our kids up in the dead end. And we don't do it on purpose. We're being nice. We're being generous. We're doing good stuff for our kids. It's good stuff. But it's so hard. I mean, I think about how I was raised. We raise our children already addicted to stuff to meet needs beyond just what they need. Now, I don't have the answer of how to fix that. That's why I'm telling you guys. You guys figure that out and tell me. But can we turn back? Can we unlearn? Can we head back from that dead end a little bit and revisit square one? Maybe we need to do it daily, weekly, monthly as families, and in order to figure out what is the path forward and how do we want to raise our kids in their relationship with their stuff? I know all of you ask that question. I don't have any idea that I'm the first one to ever raise that point, but can we say it out loud as a community and say, yeah, this is a battle. We're at this dead end right now. So, you know, when I think about that, this is it. We've got self, God, and others, all right? That's what we probably, some version of this is what we kind of all realize life is actually all about, versus the three C's of cost, clutter, and care of your stuff. What do you do in your life, in your job, in your schedule, in all of your commitments in order to be able to afford the stuff that you have and to have it? And then what does it do to your world and actually start dictating what your world is going to look like in order to have it all there and then to take care of it? Or the list could go on, right? There's probably more than those three C's, all right? So that's a biggie. We expect our stuff to do some of the wrong things for us personally. So one of the questions, and there's a box there for you that isn't filled in, and I'm not going to tell you what you should put in there, but what is square one with your stuff personally? Start thinking about what that might be. For me, as I thought about this, my first try at this was that food, water, air, shelter, warmth, those are square one for my stuff. Like, I think I need to have that, maybe medical sort of stuff as well. And then after that, it's how it fits into the people of my life and the work of my life. How is a tool for me so that I can really be healthy and dwell in the people of my life and in the work of my life? It kind of maybe helps me make a few decisions, help me understand a few things. So you have to think about that yourself. A question I put along there, and that's on your outline, is how much is enough? Age-old question, how much is enough? All right? Read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, some homework for this week as you're doing, if you do so, Jordan was talking about a little bit there, maybe add Ecclesiastes chapter 2 to it. I'm not going to tell you too much about it. Tobiso is here, and I mentioned him last week, but one of Tobiso's great gifts to me was that simple question, which is a great gift to you, of that as he has had his experience of losing the use of his legs, realized, why am I worried or so focused on the hundreds of things I can't do when there are thousands of things that I still can do? And last week we turned that as we were talking about square one with us, like, why are we so focused on the hundreds of things that divide us when there are thousands of things that unite us? So let's bring that into this week. Why are we so focused on the hundreds of things that we don't have instead of the thousands of things that we do have? Maybe changing some of our attention can make a difference. Dead end number one, expecting our stuff to do too much for us personally. Dead end number two, we expect our stuff to do too much for us societally. all right? We collectively, we like stuff. Here in the United States, we're 5% of the world's population, and we use 30% of the world's resources. You've probably all heard that figure. Yeah, that gives us moral standing in the world, doesn't it? Because we know the implications of what that happens to be. And our lifestyle has set a standard for the rest of the world. It's not just us alone, but I would probably say here in the United States that we are kind of at the head of the class and setting the pace of the rest of the world to come and to follow. Our lifestyle is the lifestyle. Don't you want to live like we live? And there's so many wonderful things about the way we live, but it's a dead end, folks. Stuff is the linchpin of our growth economy. Stuff is the linchpin of our growth economy. And there's a problem with a growth economy. It is a dead-end situation. All right? This is not a political statement. This isn't a socialist or an anti-capitalist statement. This is math. This is science. You can't keep producing more. We can't just always grow, grow, grow. You know, the only way, I was just hearing the conversations on the radio this week on NPR and talking about how the suburbs and the Twin Cities that aren't growing versus the ones that are, and the ones that aren't are realizing that this is a huge problem. You heard the earnings reports on what company can't sell, you know, what company can't afford to sell less next year than it did, or next quarter than it did last quarter. I mean, we have to grow. We have to produce more. We have to be more productive. And all that means that we have to fuel that growth economy. It means we have to either grow or dig more stuff out of the ground. We have to manufacture it with whatever sort of things it has to do. Then we have to distribute it. Then we have to sell it. We have to buy it. We have to own it. We have to take care of it. We have to store it someplace. And eventually, in fact, often way too soon, we have to dispose of it. And we have to do that faster, with more people in a larger part of the world wanting to participate in that at the same time as we are. And this is the next feeling here, is that there is a limit to how much stuff we can make out of this planet, all right? There is a limit to how productive, how long we can push that growth economy. It just isn't going to last forever. Now, again, I just want to go back and say this isn't a good or bad, it's our expectations. A dead end, when you get to a dead end, doesn't mean that you were doing something wrong all the time, it means it doesn't work anymore, right? The fact that we were so productive, the fact that we learned so much, and we did so much and learned to make things that gives us modern medicine, that gives us, you know, the ability to gather like this, and those are wonderful things. These are great gifts, but we have to realize, where have we pushed that now to a place where it no longer works? And we need to find a new relationship. We have to redesign our expectations. We have to have a different relationship with our stuff and how it fuels our economy. You know, and that's actually, you know, we don't dare do that, because if we stop buying all this stuff and we don't buy more stuff next month than we did last month, someone's going to lose their job. And when they lose their job, then they can't buy as much themselves. And that means it's going to ripple down to us, because somehow we are all in that same economic chain, that when we don't just keep making more and buying more, all of a sudden the whole fundamentals of our economy start kind of falling apart. I don't have the answers for that, but there's questions we need to do. I think we need to be part of the change makers and start asking the questions and start revising that and making some of the tough decisions that we are going to need to make. As the rest of the world begins to catch up with our lifestyle, the people who have done the science on this say that if everyone that is living right now on Earth was living at our lifestyle, it would take 6 Earths in order to supply all those needs. So I did some fact-checking, and I went back and counted how many we've got, all right? And I counted 3 times to make sure I hadn't made a mistake. We've got 1. We have 1 Earth. We all need to live here. We need to share it. It needs to last. It needs to last beyond how long I'm going to live. It needs to last for our kids and our grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids, and we need to figure that all out. All right, remember that word stewards. We're stewards, or people who care for things. This earth is entrusted to us to care for, to hand it off to the next generation in a better condition than it was for us. And, you know, that's an important thing. And we have a 3-stranded rope to help us to do that and to be the people we need to be and to have a relationship with our stuff that really makes a difference in our lives, that we don't look for our stuff, we don't look for standards of living to give us all the things that we need, because we know that that isn't where we find them. We know it has a role, and it needs to play that role of basic needs for all people, not just for us, and we can do that. But for a whole lot of the rest of the layers of meaning and so on, this is something that we're going to have to rethink. We need to get back to square one about. So there's a square here at the bottom of your Sunday paper there, going along with this dead end too. And I'd ask you to think about, you know, what is that square one for you to look like? Looks like. So if one of the dead ends is that we expect our stuff to do some of the wrong things for us, or, you know, we have the wrong expectations for our stuff societally, what is square one related to that all about? As I reflected on that, square one about that societally is simply that we have one planet that we have to share. We just got to keep coming back to that square one. We've got one planet, and it's a gift, and we're stewards of it. Now, how are we going to move forward from there? And how do we get back to that so that we can make that step forward? It's interesting, the very first chapter of the Bible, the story of Genesis, which is not meant to be read literally. It's meant to tell us some things that we need to understand about our relationship with God and our relationship to the world that is around us. But at the end of it, it says, you know, God creates everything, and God steps back and looks at all that God had made and says, it is very good. It's very good. And God made that, so it's nothing wrong with making things. But we live in a world that is good, that we can enjoy, and it's got the capability of making stuff for us and providing that. And it's a gift that we can do that. We can be smart enough. We can cooperate and work on that. But let's keep the goodness in our world. And let's encourage each other. Let's find ways to do this together. Because believe me, this is countercultural thinking. It's something that everybody on our planet knows, and almost none of us want to do anything about. Or we don't want to do enough to make a difference. So I entrust that to us. So kind of a heavy message maybe. Telling you things that we all know and are struggling with and don't have any easy answers. But I do think this is kind of what it means to be people who are willing to wrestle with that. And, you know, when all else fails and you don't know what square one is like and how to go back to it, just hang on to this rope. Step back and look at the world. Invite God to show you how things really work, what really matters in life, where stuff comes from, the real stuff that matters. And then embrace the people in the world around you. Touch it. Feel it. Spend time there. Spend the currency of your life, which is your time, not your money. It's the only thing that you can never have more of with other people. So God, as a strand in our rope, we gather here around you. We gather together as others that can make a difference and can help us be whole, but we know that we can't just do that alone. We thank you for drawing us beyond ourselves into this wonderful universe that you have created and that you participate in with us. And you fill us with promise and with hope. And you give us the ability to make mistakes and to get it wrong. You teach us about forgiveness and about grace. You teach us about second chances. And you teach us about loving and being loved even when we don't have it figured out. Help us to embrace that and to feel that permission and to feel that hope within ourselves and for each other. Help us to be more about exchanging great ideas and dreams and taking risks and taking adventures together rather than judging what everyone else is doing and how they're doing it. Gather us as those kinds of people.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have, too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.